I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
Right, let's talk about how you went from that into this incredible Olympic journey that you embarked on. Your first gold medal in 2004?
Yep, that's right.
And I'm not going to gloss over that because that was an incredible moment for you. Just reflect on that for us.
Yeah, it was... I went into it as world champion. So the event I was riding was the 1,000 meter time trial where you only get one ride. There's no heats. There's no qualifications. So you basically don't know what your rivals have got until it's too late. So, you go up in reverse order of your seeding. So I was world champion. I was last to go. So I sat and watched everybody post their time before I went on the track. And I think four riders before went up, a guy from Australia, Shane Kelly, he went up and broke the world record. And then the next guy, the German, Stefan Nimka, broke it again. And then Arnaud Tournant from France broke it again. And I was last to go, having seen the world record broken three times. So it was just a really, although it's a very physical event, it's a kind of pure event, the time trial. There's no tactics involved. It's your strategy. You're just racing against the clock. But the mental side of it is really a huge challenge because it's so hard not to be distracted by the times that the other riders have posted. So I got to the start line, it was just everyone else had finished their ride. It was me to go. I was last to go. And it just felt like the most intense pressure I'd ever felt in my life. And this was the most important moment because this is my chance to become Olympic champion, my dream. And the only way I got through it was just by basically visualizing and focusing on myself and not worrying about the variables, not worrying about what anyone else has done because I had no control over that. Just literally stick to the game plan and get it out, get that, all those thousands of hours of hard work, the visualization, the mental preparation. And it was so surreal because I crossed the finishing line and it was so like all the visualizations, all the kind of mental rehearsal. It was almost like the perfect ride, but I hadn't visualized what was going to happen after the finishing line. So normally you celebrate straight away if you've won the race, and I crossed the line and I just for a moment thought, is this actually happening? Is this real? And I looked up at the scoreboard and I saw my name and the number one and OR for Olympic record. And it was just, this is actually really odd, but I should put my arm up in the air just in case I have actually won this, in case this is real, because I'll look really odd if I'm not celebrating. And I did about a lap or two, just looking like I'm completely in a daze until I spotted my family up on the stand waving the flag and the banner. And it kind of sunk in that this is actually happening. And yeah, I achieved my dream of becoming Olympic champion. I'd say other than in London 2012, that was the most significant moment of my whole career.
And how did you keep that mental strength up? Because that must, as you've touched on, been intense. Was that all self-coached, all visualization? Because it's a hell of a lot for one bloke to take on.
I think in the early days before we had, Steve Peters was our psychologist and he changed the way that I looked at my life, not just my sporting life. And but I didn't really engage with Steve when he first joined the team because up until that point, we'd never had a psychologist. It was seen as a bit of a kind of mysterious thing. And also, it was almost like a showing a sign of weakness to go and see a psychologist. You know, if someone on the team was seeing a psychologist, everyone was like, what are they, what's he talking about? And, is he making you lie on a sofa and talk about your childhood and things like that? You thought it was some sort of, I don't know, almost a sign of weakness that you had to see a psychologist. Whereas now, of course, we know that's absolute nonsense. And there's so much you can gain from seeing somebody who can help your mental side of your sport. Because often the mental side is what separates the first from second from third place. So Steve Peters was incredible. He taught me about perspective in life, about, you know, caring about what you're doing and have passion for what you're doing, but understanding that it is actually, it's pretty trivial. Unless you're saving lives, what you do is pretty trivial. So the consequences of getting it wrong, you know, if it goes wrong, so what? You know, you're riding bikes in anti-clockwise circles. It's not life and death. You've got to enjoy it. You've got to give it your all, but not fear the outcome, not worry about failure. And also not let success be a distraction too. You know, not you're not going into the race thinking about the gold medal or thinking about what would happen if I lose this. You're thinking about the process. So you focus on the process and not about the outcome. You focus on the process, the outcome will follow, but just it's the kind of ABC of what you need to do will hopefully lead you towards that end result. But you never worry about the end result when you're doing it. It's just the process.
That's so interesting, because naturally I would assume as humans, I know I do it, I would definitely be thinking about the result. If this happens, I'm going to be an Olympic champion. If it doesn't, I'm not. And you bounce between two extremes, and that can't be healthy. But how on earth do you sort of compartmentalize enough to sort of keep those thoughts from creeping in?
Well, it's, I mean, you're absolutely right there. You look at football as an example, look at the penalty shootouts in you know, a World Cup final or a semi-final, and you're stepping up to take that penalty, and these guys, they could score a goal, you know, a penalty with their eyes closed 999 times out of 1,000, but that one time where they've got to do it, and they're either going to be the hero or the villain if they miss. And you know, that is a classic example of being able to focus on the process in that moment, not thinking, God, if I stick this in the top corner of the net here, we're going to be in the World Cup final, or we're going to win the World Cup. And equally, I'll be on the headlines if I'm the one that misses it. There's that pressure, that weight, and they change the way that they approach the ball. They might make a last second change of decision about where they're going to go for it. They might end up sticking it in the other corner and missing, or sticking it straight to the keeper or whatever. So for me, the way I got around that whole, you know, worrying about the outcome, it was purely focusing on the process. Having the visualization part of it is very important. So, you know, visualizing exactly what you want to do through each stage of your race, but not having such a rigid plan that if something happened or you know, like in the Keirin, for example, or the sprint, there's lots of variables, things can change. So you can't just have one plan, but it's about being able to refocus and reapply the next plan. If plan A is not working, you change to plan B or plan C or plan D. But visualization is a really powerful tool, definitely.
Now, you said that 2004, aside from 2012, was probably the most significant moment. Is that because it released some kind of pressure off you in a way, because you'd proved yourself now, you could almost relax and say, right, I'm established now as an Olympic gold medal winner. I can just get on with what I'm good at now.
I think it's because it's such a big thing. And I always, growing up, I always saw Olympic champions or people who were successful in their sport or their career. They were just different to the rest of us. They were born that way. They were destined to be champions. And it was in 2000 when I saw my teammate Jason Queeley win the gold medal in Sydney, that it was like a real light bulb moment, because I suddenly thought, well, here's a guy who's just Jason. He's my mate. He's an ordinary bloke. You know, he's not a superhero like I thought Olympic champions would be. And he's just won a gold medal. And he was the first person that I knew personally who had, you know, become an Olympic champion. And I thought, well, if he can do it, maybe I can get close to that. And it was a real inspiration to see him win the gold medal. So 4 years later, I think winning an Olympic gold medal was without doubt the biggest target and the biggest ambition I had. And once you've won that gold medal, you're an Olympic champion for life. So, you know, I think there was pressure lifted and it was significant, but on the downside, nothing was measuring up to it. So every race I went to after Athens, you go to World Championships the next year in LA, 2005, and it was just, I felt a bit flat. I couldn't get the best out of myself, because I felt like this isn't as important, it's not as big, it's not as great as the Olympics. So I definitely experienced a bit of a dip after the 2004 games, and it took a while to start changing things around. Ironically, the biggest or one of the most important shifts in my career was when that event was dropped from the Olympic program. So in 2005, they dropped the kilo from the one I was Olympic champion in, the event I was Olympic champion in, from the Olympic Games program in Beijing, excuse me. And so I had to make a decision. Do I retire now, age 28, 29, or do I try and take up a new event and adapt and sort of learn a new skills and tactics and techniques? And it was purely because of the support around me, the amazing structure, support, the coaching infrastructure, the psychological infrastructure too with Steve Peters, that allowed me to pursue these new events and to develop these new skills and go on to win the 3 gold medals in Beijing.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.